flight 323, now boarding at gate 7 to Finland.
Start with, you throw the water there and you perspire, and this is how all your feelings inside also get cleaned. It's purifying, it's meditation actually for Finns.
Mr. Sibelius used to say that all the music was going to die inside of his heart in Helsinki. By that, he meant that their life was so restless there. And here in Ainola, he used to say that the silence speaks to him.
For me, cultural reality is very much Anton Bruckner, Debussy, Schoenberg, Donald Duck. Let's be honest.
The music education system in Finland, I think, is maybe the best in the whole world. If the young children learn to sing, not just, okay, these are the main songs you have to sing, but really express yourself by singing.
From the Finnish national anthem to its national export, the sauna bath, from conductor Esa-Pekka Salonen, newly appointed director of the Helsinki Festival, to the amazing system of musical education, I'm Robert Aubrey Davis. Join me in the next hour as we go on holiday, a cultural tour of Finland. What we say we know about Finland, the midnight sun, the saunas, the vast forests, is all true, but there's a much greater tale to tell, and more than anywhere else in the world, it can be told through music.
It's good for the Finnish music life that people learn to know where Finland is in the world's map, maybe somewhere there in the north. But it's not so cold here. Maybe they can tell it to the people that Finland is not so cold.
Pekka Hakko of the Finnish Music Information Center spends his life promoting living Finnish composers, although everyone knows they work in the titanic shadow of Jean Sibelius, here conducting his Andante Festivo in 1939. The Finnish conductors on the world scene today is a product of the Finnish government's rededication to music education in the 1960s, a time when the young Leif Segerstam, then likened in looks and bravado to Elvis, gave the podium a new intensity.
But I'm very happy to work in the Nordic countries, and I'm proud about the very active music life in Finland.
30 years later, Segerstam now looks like the portly, bearded Johannes Brahms.
I think that the Nordic countries, for the music, they have something special because the nature or the timing of the sun, I mean the light changes, are so extreme here in the north, and that gives us the strength to give a body or power to the climaxes.
The light, the color, the feeling for nature is everywhere in Finnish art and culture, and most perfectly in the music of Jean Sibelius.
Very famous Sibelius piece, Scene with Cranes. He always waited for them in the spring and when they returned back in the fall. And this was one of the pieces that he asked to be played on his funeral on the 20th of September 1957. And very significant for this kind of thing that you can only experience when you are very close to nature or nature opens to you.
Sibelius's Scene with Cranes, from the incidental music to Kuolema. Sibelius's Scene with Cranes, from the incidental music to Kuolema.
So, welcome here in Ainola. This was the home of Jean and Aino Sibelius and their five daughters.
Nervi Siltanen guided me up a winding tree-lined path to Sibelius's home, called Ainola, after his wife Aino, which seems to have sprung from the forest itself.
I think there's something about the many birch trees. You hear that sound in the wind. I'm sure he listened to that sound all the time.
I believe so, because nature, all in all, was very important for him. All the surroundings and the woods of Ainola were very important for Mr. Sibelius, and he used to have chairs in the woods here, and there he would sit for hours and listen to the sounds of nature, the birds, the wind, everything like that.
The Finns may live and work in cities and towns, but their hearts are in the vast forests and nearly 200,000 lakes that are the soul of Finland. No one felt this more than Jean Sibelius. His beautiful woodland home tells us more about his music and its silences than any book.
Mr. Sibelius used to say that all the music was going to die inside of his heart in Helsinki. By that, he meant that their life was so restless there. For instance, there were so many disturbing noises, of course, like it is in a town. And here in Ainola, he used to say that the silence speaks to him.
No sound on the Ainolassa, but täällä Ainolassa tämä hiljaisuus.
Sibelius in 1948 at age 83 saying, "Most of my works I have composed at Ainola. Here at Ainola, this stillness speaks." This quest for silence was rigidly enforced in Sibelius's family life.
The girls quite often went to the neighbors to play with the children in the neighborhood, because when father was working here, it had to be silent. And for instance, there was another rule that nobody would talk at breakfast before father had said his good morning, because if he didn't say good morning, he might be just composing in his head and you wouldn't know it. And you didn't want to interrupt him, of course. And sometimes it happened that Mr. Sibelius came downstairs in the afternoon and said, "Good morning, girls." And well, then it was allowed to speak and be quite normal here. But of course, when he wasn't working, he was a very social and loving father to the girls, and he did play the piano for the girls at Christmas, and when the girls were very unhappy, then he would play the piano.
The so-called Tree Suite, played by Finland's foremost pianist Ralph Katoni, by someone we always call Jean Sibelius.
His name was Johan Sibelius. And this artistic name, Jean Sibelius, he got it when he was about 20 years old or so. And then he had got some of his late uncle's things. And this uncle had been a sea captain. And as he traveled a lot around the world, then he had these visiting cards made on the name Jean Sibelius, without any titles. And then our young composer was studying in Helsinki, and as a student he couldn't afford to have his own visiting cards made for him. And when he found his uncle's visiting cards, he started to take them into use. And he found it very amusing at first to be able to give somebody a visiting card and say, "Hello, I'm an artist. My name is Jean Sibelius." At the beginning of Mr. Sibelius' career, he had his national romantic period, and that's when he composed very much, very many pieces that are connected with our national story, Kalevala, like the Swan of Tuonela and the Karelia Suite, and the Finlandia, of course. And that was a very important piece for Finnish people, because at the beginning of this century, we were under the Russian rule and we had a very strong Russification going on. And then artists used their art to express their national feelings. But he himself didn't like that so very much, because he didn't want to be looked up as a political person. He just said that, "To me, music comes straight from my soul, and it's something that I cannot express in any other way. So music for me is expressions of feelings."
While Finlandia was the work that cemented Sibelius's fame, he received little money for it despite its worldwide popularity.
His publisher got rich and he didn't, so he never really became a rich man, despite of the fact that he became very known all over the world. But then in the 20s he began to receive the royalties, and that, for one part, made it possible for him not to publish anything after the year 29. But after that, nothing. And yet we know that he was working pretty hard up until his death. So that gives us a period of about 30 years that we also call the silence of Ainola. But then he had always also been a very self-critical composer. And that self-criticism grew and grew over the years. And finally he just wasn't satisfied with his last works. And as he didn't want anybody to see them, even after his death, then he burnt down everything. And in the 40s, Mrs. Sibelius really writes in her diary that this has been one of the most horrible days of my life, because today I saw Janne burning down so many of his compositions.
Imagine Sibelius in those last 30 silent years looking out from Ainola at the lake and his beloved swans. Perhaps everything he had to say about music and silence and nature had already been said years before in works like his Swan of Tuonela.
Thank you.
The Swan of Tuonela, performed by Jukka-Pekka Soraste with the Finnish Radio Symphony Orchestra. In the 1820s, a young folklorist traveled Finland's countryside to preserve the ancient Finnish songs and tales. The result, the Kalevala, became not just the Finnish national epic, but a gift of national identity. What Elias Lönnrot gave his country was this, the confirmation that their vast land of forest and snow, village and sea, had a great tale to tell. One ancient ritual described in the Kalevala has become Finland's most famous export. The sauna. I talked with world-renowned Finnish baritone Jorma Hynninen, where else, in a sauna.
It is not so long time when Finnish people told stories singing. These Kalevala poets, for example, they came together, these kind of buildings, as this sauna is, blockhouse, and sitting there in the dark room, there was no television, no electric machines, nothing. Only way to communicate and have a joy was to make art and tell stories to each other.
Yksi oli vanha Väinämöinen, toin oli nuori joukahainen. Ajetti hyö vastakkahe, aisapa tarttui aisan piehän. Rahkis rahkeen.
Singing in countryside also was quite natural, and I remember from my childhood that my uncle, when I went to his farmhouse, he used to sing when he was wandering with a horse. And I have a memory, something from very beautiful moment, to hear that singing when somebody's working and singing.
Virkivä vanha Väinämöinen, mitelläpä miekkojamme.
So from a childhood I heard, I had this kind of experiences, and I think it's one reason why I started to sing, because I have used to hear singing.
Sometimes in an encore you'll sing a little folk song. Do you remember maybe one of your uncle's songs, or one of the earliest songs you ever heard your mother sing when she worked?
Oh yeah, maybe some.
Tein minä pillin pajupuusta, toki vahin pajupuusta. Hei, sorjasti korjasti pillini soipi, toki vahin pajupuusta.
Oi, painan päivi,
Hey!
baritone Jorma Hunninen singing the role of Kullervo in Sibelius's first great composition inspired by the Kalevala, the Kullervo Symphony.
No, minusta ihmisääni on se, joka on...
In my opinion, the human voice is the most straightforward or immediate tool towards the listeners.
The preeminent living Finnish composer is Erik Bergman, who after a half century as an active composer only turned to the opera form in his mid-70s.
Se on suoraan siis sisimmistä.
You know, it's not like an instrument. It comes deep from inside, and it's very straightforward channel. And there are many multifaceted issues. You know, when you open your mouth, you can sing, you can whisper, shout, scream.
Using the voice in a variety of challenging ways, the now 84-year-old Erik Bergman retold the ancient Swedish fairy tale of the singing tree. It's the story of Prince Hot and his love for a princess, a love thwarted by his witch-like mother. The opera received its world premiere at the 1995 Helsinki Festival. In the story of the singing tree, the princess cannot see her beloved in the light of day and must give up her sight to be with him.
And what's interesting about the singing tree is that the whole love story actually is being reflected and you know into the tree again and so in the prologue you hear the slow whispering sounds and the choir is in a way the singing tree of this whole assembly and it comments on everything that happens.
Se kommentoi me kaikki mitä tapahtuu.
As the opera ends, the princess turns to the prince and says, "Let me warm you." To which the prince replies, "Come, let us warm each other. Soon we'll be like leaves in autumn."
Siis
this is the way life always goes. And nothing is like the first love and becoming infatuated. Everything happens in pianissimo, and the audience knows nothing of what's being said, really, but it's like the sound of when you rustle leaves, and there's all this jingling and humming going on, and all kinds of life like that. When you're old, as it is said in the epilogue about love, it's like a cadence between two people, and then when we're older, the leaves fall slowly one and one.
At the end of the interview, Mr. Berryman's wife helped him to his feet, and the old couple left the room, hand in hand. You're listening to On Holiday, a cultural tour of Finland on PRI Public Radio International. I'm Robert Aubrey Davis.
The theme of this festival, if you wish, has been the lack of theme. A good festival reflects the variety and complexity of the world.
One of Finland's newest cultural exports, 37-year-old Esa-Pekka Salonen, has made a tremendous splash with American audiences as conductor of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. And in 1995, he took over the helm of the Helsinki Festival, which he's guided in quite a new direction.
We thought, okay, this festival is going to reflect the cultural reality as we see it today. And for me, cultural reality is very much Anton Bruckner, Debussy, Schoenberg, Bergweben, Elliot Carter, Milton Babbitt, John Adams, Donald Duck. Let's be honest.
In a country where the number two publication after Reader's Digest is Donald Duck Comics and Stories, it was natural for Salonen to feature rare works from the first 25 years of the Walt Disney Studios. Many of these haven't been seen on American screens for decades.
Everybody between 30 and 40. We all grew up in Helsinki in the early 60s, and Donald Duck was a major, major influence. And the Finnish Donald Duck especially is a quality Donald Duck because they always exercised great care in terms of the quality of the language. When I try to put together a festival, instead of trying to limit my points of view, I would like to somehow reflect what's happening, the cultural and sociological reality where we live. And if you look around in culture at the moment, what is obvious and quite clear is that there is no mainstream at the moment. This era is very clearly an era of individualism.
While Esa-Pekka Salonen has brought some of his Finnish heritage to American audiences, such as a spectacular recent recording with the LA Philharmonic of Sibelius's Kullervo Symphony, he has likewise taken some of his American experience back to Finland, and what he's learned in Los Angeles has helped him to gain new perspective on his own heritage.
If you look at Helsinki, I grew up here, and at least in those days when I lived here and studied, everything was like the same, you know, language. And the social class, you know, it's nothing compared with America, for instance. I find myself trying to figure out what Los Angeles is and where I am and what I'm supposed to do. And it's a mastodon challenge, of course, if you think of the sort of constitution of a city. You know, what an impossible idea that you have 14 million people or whatever, and they speak 80 languages and they are spread out. And then you try to run a symphony orchestra there. It's a huge undertaking, a huge task, so I find it constantly stimulating.
I bet Esa-Pekka Salonen would love to see the youthful, enthusiastic audiences he's generated at the Helsinki Festival at one of his concerts in Los Angeles. He travels from a land where there have been many cutbacks among music teachers to a place where 1% of the population is an active student in a music conservatory.
We do have our problems, of course, but still, obviously, the situation here in this part of the world is much, much, much better than in the States at the moment. And what's happening politically in the States is very frightening from every point of view, not only from an artist's point of view. Of course, the fact that one of the main arguments used against the National Endowment of Arts was that National Endowment supports things that do not represent the American mainstream values. This is a sort of chicken and egg kind of statement, because obviously mainstream values are the values that people have access to. A Beethoven symphony could be and should be a mainstream value, it just has to be made accessible.
Esa-Pekka Salonen conducting Sibelius's Kullervo Symphony.
Thank you.
Esa-Pekka Salonen conducting his recent recording of Sibelius's Kullervo Symphony with the Los Angeles Philharmonic.
Young children don't separate new music, contemporary music, and old music.
Again, Pekka Hako, executive director of the Finnish Music Information Center.
It is just music when they are playing piano or violin as 10 years old. So it's music, and that's very typical in Finland. That's contemporary music. It is not isolated from the other music. But the whole climate is like that. There's a coming up a new audience of these young children because they have been in touch with the new music so early that they couldn't separate things.
As you walk into Tapiola School in Espoo, a suburb of Helsinki, it could be anywhere. Kids in jeans and t-shirts, lockers slamming, gossip in the halls, and the morning announcements. But here the announcements begin and end with classical music. The Tapiola School was forever changed in 1962 when the governing board invited a young music enthusiast, Erkki Pohjola, to create an orchestra and chorus. He believed that music was the road to creativity. After three decades, the orchestra and chorus of Tapiola have become national treasures, and the school became the inspiration for others all over Finland to reinvigorate music education.
In Espoo, here in Tapiola, and many schools, the music teachers are very good. They can sing and play and compose and make movements with children.
Every child must have a possibility to know what is musical education. It's nothing special from normal life. It is to know yourself and to feel something.
I was treated to a music education revelation as I sat in on an eighth grade music class. The class starts with breathing exercises and a set of vocal warm-ups, so kids start to make music right away. The teacher really animated these kids without any written music. She demonstrated complex African rhythms. They started to imitate her, and no matter how difficult the rhythms got, the kids all seemed to master them.
It's very important also that I'm comfortable with the music I teach. If I give this to a music teacher, to my colleague, and said, here's a very good stuff, do it in your class, it's not so easy. You have to learn it yourself, of course. But I think this is the best way of doing complex rhythm also.
The kids were so caught up in the music class, they wanted to stay behind even after their teacher had left and show me what they could do.
Chopin's Etude, Opus 10, number 12.
What kind of music do you like best?
Well, I like all that sort of hits and pop music. I like quite a lot of classic also. I enjoy it.
Do you want to keep going with music beyond eighth grade? I mean, all the way through high school?
Yes, it would be quite fun.
This enthusiasm for music is reinforced by the teachers and even by the textbooks. As you flip through the pages of the 8th grade music book, the chapter on Rockin' and Rollin' with Dylan and Springsteen is followed by the chapter on Bach's St. Matthew Passion. The book covers everything from Louis Armstrong to Jimi Hendrix to Kalevala folk singers, from Mozart to Eric Berrymon to Eric Clapton.
She's wondering what clothes to wear. She puts on her makeup and brushes her long blonde hair. And then she asks me, do I look all right? And I say, yes, I look wonderful tonight.
These kids are just incredible. This must be an awesome thing for you to be part of every single year, bringing kids through this.
Kids have fun in music lesson. We can do everything together with boys and girls, but they need to have security, no bad feelings.
Why is music education important? Now that we've gone through this whole experience, why is it important for children to be exposed to this, to grow into this, do you think?
I think with music they can learn to be better human beings. Because it's so much feelings in music. You must show what is, in practice, feelings. And to work with feelings. Then you can learn it and learn to be a better human being.
Music education system in Finland, I think, is maybe the best in the whole world.
Again, Pekka Hakko, executive director of the Finnish Music Information Center.
I think that to learn more music is to learn more about yourself, how to express yourself. If the young children learn to sing, not just, okay, these are the main songs you have to sing, but really express yourself by singing, also with the contemporary music, using music as a tool for the other things in your life. I think that's one of the most important things in music. It is not just a question of skills, how I can play. It's a question about how I can feel. How can I share the feelings together with my friends or with the 2,000 persons audience. It gives us some kind of common feeling and still some individual feelings. So it gives more strength for your own life.
Yeah.
Hymn in Praise of the Lord by Jean Sibelius, performed by the Tapiola Choir and Sinfonietta, directed by Erkki Pohjola. We have to leave you with the Tapiola Choir and Erkki Pohjola singing Sibelius's Finlandia, the work that is Finland. This program was produced by Maureen Hanley and Molly Murphy. The mixing engineer was Charles Lawson, Director of Operations Lynn Terrell. Special thanks to Soren Sondergaard and Sandra Allman of the European Commission delegation in Washington, D.C., Anneli Hallinen, Helena Brooks, and Maria Gerson at the Embassy of Finland, Gaia Coleman and Jill Sturgis at Finnair, Ritva Müller at the Finnish Tourist Board, Tarja Fernandez at the Finnish Ministry of Culture in Helsinki, Reo Kielunen of the Ondine Recording Label, translator Stefan Linfors, David Lowe of US Air, Richard Freed, and in Dublin, Ireland, Pat Dunn and Harry Bradshaw. Production support was generously provided by WETA-FM in Washington, D.C., and Sun Recording Studios in Dublin, Ireland. I'm Robert Aubrey Davis. This program was sponsored by the European Commission delegation and the Embassy of Finland in Washington, D.C., with support from Finnair and the Finnish Tourist Board.